Today is Thursday, August 30th, 2018. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Kisavo.
Parshas Kisavo,
Parshas Kisavo, Parshas Kisavo, Parshas
Kisavo. I'd like to thank all of you for coming to the class tonight. It's so nice to see all of you here. There's some people in particular that I haven't seen in a long time. It's wonderful to see them. By the way, are the Clarks coming tonight?
Yeah, they said they are.
Huh?
They said they are.
Oh, good. I hope they come. Nice to see you, Judge. There may be some people that are not listed with Dr. Goldenberg in regards to your email addresses. And the reason we're suggesting that we have them is because there could be times when we may need to call the class off for one reason or another, or to let people know that the class is on. And if you don't have your email address listed with Dr. Goldenberg, would you please do so after the class? I'd really appreciate it so we can keep in touch with you just in regards to the class. There have been some people that have brought some paper goods, and napkins, and silverware, and paper cups, and wonderful plates. Thank you. We needed them. We could still use a little bit more of the white plasticware, but I just would like to thank all of you who have been so generous and so nice in regards to it. Thank you very much. I want to thank Rabbi Berger and Young Israel for their generosity, for allowing us to have these classes here for all of these years, and setting up and just making it just a very, very lovely experience for all of us, and I really do appreciate it, and I'm sure that all of you do as well. I would very much like to ask if everybody could just take their phones and silence them during the class. I think everybody would appreciate it. You know, if you want to vibrate it, it's fine, but it'd be nice if... be nice if you didn't interrupt the class with your phones.
Not yet. I have to prepare that.
Is there a class next week?
No. Why not?
Deborah, there's a class next week? Okay. So we're letting everybody know ahead of time. We have a class next week on Thursday.
I got to talk about Rosh Hashanah.
That's right. Is there anything that I'm forgetting? Okay. Moshe?
Yeah.
And thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. Moshe, you're okay, Jerry.
I think this is you're okay.
You're okay, Jerry. Thank you, Pedro.
That's not bad. That was pretty good.
You got two minutes. My wish isn't so good.
All right. This week's Sedra has the Brachos and the Cholos, the Tochacha. So I would like to learn the Gemara, because Shir is going to be a different form than usual, about the Tochacha. And I'll make comments line by line on the Gemara. Just some thoughts that came to my mind. It's at the end of the Gemara Megillah, I think about Lamed Aleph. Ahmed Bey's. So the Mishnah says over there that the Taniyos, this is not our custom. Our custom is that on a fast day we lain Vayichal. But the custom at the time of the Mishnah was, at least the opinion of the Mishnah was, that on fast days, instead of Vayichal, they lain Brachos and Klolos. the brachos and the klolos. So the tiniest brachos and klolos, the ein mafsikin baklolos. But the klolos all had to constitute one aliyah. You couldn't make separate aliyahs in the klolos. In the brachos, you could divide it up. But in the klolos, in the curses, the end of this week said the talks about the curses, that can't be divided up into many aliyahs.
There's always kitala, not chukotai.
Contrary, more so in the chukosai than in here. And, we'll see. Okay. Why is it that way? Why is it that, because technically you can make an aliyah after three psukim. After three psukim, you can make an aliyah. I don't know if I've gone to some, when I've been at hotels, not this week, not this past week, but I was at a hotel, but when I have been at hotels in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a Yemenite minion, like every three psukim, they make another aliyah.
You raise money.
Could be. Maybe from the aliyahs, not from the membership. So every three aliyahs, every three psukim, they have another aliyah in the Yemenite shuls. So, but when it comes to the klolos, so it all is one aliyah. Matter of fact, it's interesting, just as a side point, they always used to, today, the aliyah for the klolos is usually given to the Baal Kore. In the old days, people did not want, this is the aliyah with the curses, so no one wanted that aliyah. So they used to get somebody off the street and they buy him a bottle of schnapps or something, or pay him a certain amount of money, and he would get the aliyah. That was the custom in Europe. Reb Chaim did not, well, my great grandfather Reb Chaim did not like that custom. And he said that he would take the aliyah himself. However, he had a problem. He was a Levi. And that's not the aliyah for Levi. So he insisted that aliyah be given to Reb Simcha Zelig, Rieger, who was the dayan of the town. He said that Reb Simcha Zelig should get the aliyah because he didn't want a certain part of the Torah to be looked in a negative manner. So they would have the dayan of the town getting that aliyah. Okay, so but the question is, why can't it be divided into many different aliyahs? Rav Chiya Bagamdom Ravasi Damakra Musar Hashem Bini Al Timas. So the admonitions of God, my son, do not disdain. In other words, if you divide it into many aliyahs, it's like you say, I can't take any more of this. I don't want to hear any more. So because of that, the klolos, the curses, are not divided into many aliyahs. It's all done as one aliyah. However, the Masechta Sofrim says that it's actually learned from the end of the pasuk. It says va'al tokitz b'tochachoso, which literally translated means nor be repelled by his chastising. So, but the word kates, katsats, also means to cut. So do not take his musar, his tochacha, his admonition, and cut it up into many portions. Now, the question is, so the first explanation, that a person should not, what do you call it, that a person should not disdain the admonitions of Hashem, we understand. In other words, you don't make aliyahs because you're saying I can't take it anymore. And you shouldn't say that about the Torah. However, what the Masechah Sofrim says, and Rashi and Tosis both bring down the Masechah Sofrim, that the reason is from the end of the pasuk, Al Tokus B'Tochachoso, for drush purposes, we mean don't cut up his admonitions, do not do his chastising, do not cut it up. Why not? And the answer is, and I've mentioned it here before, that most of the Torah is given for learning purposes. For learning purposes, you, on the contrary, you have a few psukim, you try to understand it. For learning purposes, you could divide things up. But there are certain portions in the Torah that is not just for learning purposes. There are certain portions in the Torah that are re-experiencing. For example, the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros are read, at least the way we read it, not just the Ten Commandments are not just read for learning purposes. They are re-experienced. We have to re-experience. That's why the custom in Ashkenazic shuls is that you stand for the Aseres HaDibros. In other words, we are re-experiencing the Jewish people standing at Mount Sinai, hearing the voice of God. So, or does your share? Does your share, we stand the Ashkenazic shuls again. We stand for the Oz Yashir. Why do we stand for the Oz Yashir? Because in a sense we are re-experiencing that emotion, that feeling when the Jewish people were able to sense the presence of God when they were going through the sea. So there are portions of the Torah is not just learning, but it's re-experiencing. So I think that's what it means. If we divide it up into portions, that's good for learning purposes, studying purposes. But if we are one, if we see the Tochacha as experiential, as experiencing, so it's not just learning. We have to experience. We're standing there when we are being admonished by God or by Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever it might be. So we don't emphasize the intellectual aspect, but on the contrary, the emotional aspect, to have that impact. To have that impact as if God, the Moshe Rabbeinu, are telling us, warning us about it. So that's how we could explain it. So then, but Rav Shlakish says, the Fishein Omrim Bracha L'Purimias. Rav Shlakish gives a different reason. Rav Shlakish says, why? We don't want to make a bracha on the reading of tragedy. Now, so he says, so you start a couple of sukkim before the Tochacha, you make the bracha before, and you do a couple of sukkim after the Tochacha. So this way, the bracha is not said immediately in regard to the Tochacha. So he says, the fishein omrim bracha al prionis, elahechi avid, kanakishu, maskel, maskel, with fasso chalitneya. He starts with psukim beforehand, Ushim Messiah, Messiah Bipasu Shalachrayim. Okay, so what's the reason for that? So the Masechah Sofrim says, Omri Shud Diskanin, Ani amarti yimo anochi bitzara. God shares our danger, our pain, our trouble. God shares our trouble. V'imkein ein din, it's not proper, she yivarcheni bonai al tzaros shalehem, that they should bless me on their tzaros, on their pain. So, what's the explanation? I've said this in the past. According to Reb Chaim Volozhin, a bracha means tosfus koach, additional strength. I mentioned the Nesivus in explaining Geicha. He says only good can come from God. Bad doesn't come from God. But how does bad happen in the world? He says when man sins, God withdraws to a certain degree. In a sense, God lets man tie his hands. Not that God can break those, figuratively break those ropes. And because of that, to a certain degree, the world goes on its natural course. We know for the Jewish people, when the world goes on its natural course, and God does not interfere. So, unfortunately, that has happened numerous times in Jewish history. So, the anti-Semites use those opportunities, to attack the Jewish people. So, this is what I think it means. So we do not want to associate the tragedies that overtake the Jewish people with the strength of God. On the contrary, we associate it with the weakness that God allows himself to have. So in other words, sometimes people can sin, and for whatever reason, God withdraws, but man is not out at that time, for whatever reason, they're not out to get the Jewish people. They're busy with all kinds of other things. But most of the time, as soon as God withdraws, if God doesn't interfere, so the anti-Semites use those opportunities to do so many terrible things. So in a sense, the suffering of the Jew is not a demonstration of the strength of God. So, and the word bracha, according to Reb Chaim Volozhin, means tosfus koach, additional strength. So therefore, we don't want to make a bracha which gives additional strength to God when we do the tochacha. And that's what it means, anochi b'tzara. God, in the sense, is part of our tzara, God, part of our tribulations. God is part of our tribulations. Why? Because in a sense, God becomes somewhat, figuratively, Chassid Shalom, God, there's no such thing as strength and weakness and all that, but God allows himself to withdraw. And then people move at with their own free will, and they do whatever they do. Now, I just want to make it very clear that God never withdraws completely. That's one thing. God is always watching to make sure that the perpetuation of the Jewish people continues. But sometimes he withdraws. In other words, he lets the Rishayim do what they decide to do. So then he says, all of this, lo shanu ella beklolu shebetoris kahanim. He says, all of this is true in the chukosai, in the tochacha at the end of Vayikra. Aval klolish of the Mishnah Torah posek. So the Gemara says this is not our custom, but the Gemara says that the klolos, that the end of Chumash Dvarim, which we're going to laying this Shabbos, the curses that we're going to laying this Shabbos, there you can make special stops. So the question is why? What's the difference? So two answers are given. My taima, halolu b'loshen rabim amuros. He says, those in Chumash Vayikra and Bechukosai, there it said in the plural form. The way the Ramban explains it, it talks about the tragedies that will overtake the Jewish people as a nation. All the Jewish people. Plurality implies, plural implies all of the Jewish people. However, in Chumash Dvarim, it's in the singular form. And if it's in the singular form, so that does not imply that these tragedies will overtake all of the Jewish people. So we're not so strict about it. Where are we strict? We're strict in Bechukosai, but in Kisava we're not strict. So he says that's one reason. And then also, Moshe mitmi hagvura amran. And also in Bechukosai, in Bechukosai, God is talking. Moshe is saying over what God is saying, but in Dvarim, Moshe is saying himself through divine inspiration. Tosfos points out, but he's saying himself. So when we hear the words of God, that becomes more frightening. So the Torah is stricter when we deal with the experiential aspect. You understand? When we deal with the experiential aspect, or the way where God is telling it to us, so there we are much more strict. But in Chumash Dvarim, it's Moshe saying it himself through divine inspiration. So there we're not as strict. But the custom is, and this is a question. The custom is that we treat both tochachas the exact same way. We don't make any aliyahs. We mumble the words, but when you mumble the words, you have to remember to say it clear enough that everybody should be able to hear it. But we mumble the words and we say it very quickly. So the question is, the Gemara says this only applies in Vayikra, in Bechukosai. It doesn't apply in Dvarim. Why is it that we, all the stringencies that the Gemara associates with Chumash Vayikra, we do even in Chumash Dvarim, when the Gemara says clearly that you can't? Now, I want to suggest an explanation in the next piece of Gemara that's a little different than Rashi, and with that we could answer the question. But we have to understand the answer. Levi Barbuta read the curses. Havekari, because Megamgein Kame the Ravuna Ba'arure. So he mumbled the words of the Tochacha in the presence of Rav Huna. Amalo, Rav Huna said, Ach shenafshach, do as you wish. Lo shanu ele klolu shebetoris kahanim. Where do you have to mumble? Where do you have to act in this way? That's only in Chumash Vayikra. Abba v'shemishna Torah posek. But in Chumash Dvarim, you can even make stops, but we don't make stops. So why not? So I think the So the reason is that Rashi explains when he said do as you wish, you mean to say if you want you can stop. I want to explain the Gemara a little different. Do as you wish. If you want to continue not stopping and mumbling, do as you wish. In other words, you're not required, but there is a mitzvah entreating the tochacha in Chumash Dvarim the same way we treat the tochacha in Vayikra. Okay, but it was a voluntary thing. But it seems that throughout the generations, the Jewish people accepted it as an obligation. And my question was, why at the time of the Gemara, the Jewish people did not yet accept it as an obligation, and now the Jewish people have accepted it as an obligation. Now what's the difference between Chumash Vayikra and in Chumash Dvarim? In Chumash Vayikra, it's said over as God is saying it, as if God is issuing the curses. In Chumash Dvarim, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who's saying it. That's one difference. The second difference is that in Chumash Vayikra, it says in the plural form, all the Jewish people. In Chumash Dvarim, it said in the singular form, different communities. And the Ramban says the Chumash Dvarim is talking about the second Golos, the second exile. The first exile, the Babylonians dealt with all of the Jewish community that was left anyway. But when it came to Rome, the Jews were already spread all out, all over the known world at that time. It was each community for itself. So what's the explanation? I think it is, before, who instituted this? It was probably instituted by Ezra. When did Ezra institute this? Ezra instituted this when he came up at the beginning of the Second Commonwealth. Most of these curses in Chumash Vayikra had not taken, not most, the in Chumash Dvarim, excuse me, the curses of Chumash Dvarim did not yet take place. It was only something about the future. Once the curses took place, it's like God did set it. Until it took place, it was Moshe who said it. But once the curses themselves took place, that means God allowed these curses to take place. So it's as if God said it. And then, what's the difference between the plural form and the singular form? Plural form is all the Jewish people. Singular form is you have this group of Jews, you have that group of Jews, this will happen to this group of Jews. We have reached the point in Jewish history where, yes, it was different communities, different groups, but every group already had the tochacha taking place to them. Okay, in America, the Jews have it pretty good, but the Jewish community of America came from somewhere. They're not part of the American Indians. They came from somewhere. Every community had its own tochacha. And they reached a point in exile where the tochacha affected everybody. Perhaps not at one moment, but over the course of the history of the exile. So because of that, I think that it was treated the same way as the tochacha at the end of Chumash Vayikra. Now, then the Gemara says something. He says, Rav Shimon ben Elaz Omer, Ezra tiken lahem li Yisrael, Ezra instituted, sheyu korin klolo shebetoris kohanim, kodim atzeres, that you should read the klolos, the curses, at the end of the chukosai, before Shavuos, v'shebe Mishnah Torah, kodim Rosh Hashanah, and the curses at the end of Chumash Dvarim, before Rosh Hashanah. My time, what's the reason? Amar Abaye, v'temer Rav Shlokesh, kidei shetichla Hashanah v'kiloseha. The year should go out with its curses. We want the curses to be associated with the previous year, not with the new year. Not with the new year. So that's why it's now I have now many of the Mefarshim are somewhat troubled by a question, because in the time of the Gemara, and even after the time of the Gemara, even in the time of the Rambam, there existed two customs. One custom was to read the Torah in a year cycle. But the other custom is to read it over a 3-year cycle. Now this Gemara makes sense if it's over a year cycle. But if it's over a 3-year cycle, it just doesn't make sense. It won't always come out before Rosh Hashanah. And certainly it won't be before every Rosh Hashanah. So there are those that suggest that in the years, the communities that had a 3-year cycle, before Rosh Hashanah, the maftir would be the klolos. The maftir would be the klolos. That's what some suggest. Okay. What I think is, it's like this. When the Ali, there is, if the elaining, if the aliyahs are a year cycle, the aliyahs are associated with a particular time of the year. Each sedra is associated with a particular time of the year. So we can then go on to make a drasha. Why is this aliyah? How is this aliyah associated with this time of the year? But if it's over a 3-year cycle, so the kriya is not associated with a particular time of the year. So in other words, what's the idea? The idea is that there is a certain message. There is a certain message. Now, and we have to understand, the question we have to ask is, the fact that we read the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah, is that to give us a message about Rosh Hashanah? Or is that to give us a message about the Tochacha? Does Rosh Hashanah tell us something? Does Rosh Hashanah tell us something about the Tochacha? Or the Tochacha tells us something about Rosh Hashanah. In other words, the new year comes and we shouldn't be... I think that those who say that they used to have a maftir, they felt the purpose of the Tochacha is to tell us something about Rosh Hashanah. So before Rosh Hashanah, they had to read the Tochacha to tell us that Rosh Hashanah represents a new beginning. Just because things were bad the previous year, don't be depressed. Don't be depressed. But those who say, not that way, those who say it was only the year cycle that these rules applied, they felt that on the contrary, that the fact that Rosh Hashanah, the related before Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah tells us something about the Tochacha. And what does Rosh Hashanah tell us about the Tochacha? Rosh Hashanah tells us about the Tochacha that the Rosh Hashanah tells us, in other words, Rosh Hashanah represents the idea that the tragedy can come to an end. Sometimes we give up hope, and this is especially true about the Tochacha in this week's Seder, as opposed to the Tochacha and Bechul Kosai. Because in this week's Seder, in the end of Bechul Kosai, the Tochacha ends with words of consolation. V'sacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'afes brisi Avram, v'afes brisi Yitzchak, and I will remember my covenant, God says. But here, the Tochacha and Chumash Dvarim, I think the Zohar raises that question. The Tochacha in Chumash Dvarim does not end with words of consolation. There's no words of consolation. Why is that? But there's a discussion in the Gemara and the Rambam Paskins that the second exile, Ein Yisrael Negolin Ela B'Tshuva. The Jewish people will only be redeemed with Shiva. And when we hear that the Jewish people will only be redeemed with Shiva, we'd get depressed. How is it possible that we're going to be redeemed? My uncle phrased it this way. One of the basic beliefs, according to the Rambam, is to believe that Mashiach is going to come, that he's going to redeem the Jewish people. That's one of the basic, and not only that, Achakalo b'chol yom shayavo, you have to look forward each day that maybe Mashiach will come today. Maybe we're going to be redeemed today. Now, if we're going to be redeemed today, how is it possible that we're going to be redeemed today if we can only be redeemed if the Jewish people do tshuva? How is it possible? But, so my uncle said, and it's a beautiful thought, my uncle said, our belief in the coming of Mashiach is grounded in our belief in the Jewish people. And I mention always, listen, I'm 69 years old. I'm 69 years old. Since I'm six, 7 years old, in those days, you know, they used to have us, we had bomb drills. We go underneath our desk, just in case they throw an atom bomb on top of our school. Anyway, so... And then some people wanted to make some money, so they started making bomb shelters. Bomb shelters, which the Soviet Union called coffins. Okay, so... Okay. But we were brought up with this fear. I mean, our eyes were always to the sky and for the wrong reasons. So there was this fear. That we were brought up with this fear. Now, who could have believed at that time, even 40 years ago, who would have believed in the crumbling of the Soviet Union? Who would have believed it? No one would have believed it. Miracles happen. It's things that from a rational standpoint, seem to be totally irrational. So in other words, we have to believe, you might say it's irrational to believe that the Jewish people overnight give each other. I want to suggest that the belief in this, from the perspective of those days, the belief that the Soviet Union would crumble without one bomb falling was more irrational than the idea that the Jewish people will can do children and return to God. And so on one hand, why isn't there the first exile was, there was a time limit given, 70 years, whatever it is. The Zachar thing, God will remember. Here there's no time limit. It's all dependent upon us when it's going to happen. It's extremely depressing. But the answer is, as my uncle said, the Rambam says, Uchvar hevticha Torah sha'asit in Yisrael asos tshuva. The Torah promised that the Jewish people will do tshuva. They purposely put these sedras before Rosh Hashanah to tell us that the situation doesn't have to remain the same. That there could be a separation, a division, that this tichlis shana v'kilel seha, let the curses go out with its past year. In other words, why do we have these curses? We have these curses because we sinned. But we need to have confidence that, not just confidence in Rosh Hashanah time, it's not just we have to have confidence that Mashiach is going to come. Rosh Hashanah time, we have to have confidence that we and the rest of the Jewish people can do tshuva. Can do tshuva. Shavuos is considered like a Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because that's the day of the trees. The trees are judged on Shavuos. The growth of the trees, that's a natural event that God brings about. So the first gula, that was something that God brought. The second gula, the second redemption, the redemption that we're looking forward to, we have to bring. And Yisrael megolin el b'tshuva. The Jewish people will only be redeemed with tshuva. But we have to know that we can do tshuva. And that the klolos can come to an end right now. Tich l'shana v'kilolo seha. So on one hand, that doesn't mention that God is going to redeem us, because God isn't going to redeem us. We have to redeem ourselves. We redeem ourselves by doing tshuva. But the problem is that we don't believe that we could do tshuva. So to emphasize that point, they have this remez, they put that kriya at the time of the year to remind us that the curses can be part of the past. And we could look forward to a different show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I just want to say a couple of words. First of all, I want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos. That's number one. Everybody should be presumptive well. And if they're not feeling well, they should start feeling better. This is a bracha I'd like to do all of you. I also would like to thank those people who have helped to set up the room and helped to schlep the food in and to do the things that they do. It's very important that I thank them because it's so much appreciated.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you to please clean off the tables. Leave the tablecloths on, and we're going to be davening tomorrow right away.